International Women's Day, what does it mean to me? Basically, I believe that we do so many things as a woman. We're a bit of everything, that we become our own superheroes, but we don't actually realise how much of a hero we are. So take time, reflect on what you've done, what you do, what you need to be, and just take on board that you are your own superhero.
International Women's Day is a huge opportunity for us all to celebrate the passion and compassion of women. We know there are hundreds of charities and support services across the UK, many under our umbrella, who have been founded by women. They may have lost a child, a sibling, a friend, a partner, a parent. We champion these women under our organisation at the Good Grief Trust, who have gone above and beyond to make sure that they make a difference to other people's lives.
International Women's Day is a brilliant way to celebrate and recognise the achievements of women past and present. At Wellbeing of Women, in our 60th year of saving and changing the lives of women, girls and babies, we are listening to the voices of all women and commit to ending the shame, stigma and silence around women's health.
This year's theme, Inspire Inclusion. For me, this is really, really simple. Don't judge a book by its cover, okay? Everyone has got a story to tell.
International Women's Day has taken place in this room. Amazing ladies that I have met. So as far as I'm concerned, this year, International Women's Day is a huge success.
Hello and welcome to Two Women Chatting. I'm Michelle.
And I'm Liz.
And this week, we're bringing you a very special episode following on from our event at Wentworth last week for International Women's Day. You just heard Nina Ambrose from Rants and Big Pants, the midlife platform. They've been on the show before. Janet Lindsay, the Chief Executive of Wellbeing of Women. Linda Magistris, the founder of the Good Grief Trust. And Anthea Turner.
And we've got a really special episode for you this week. We had an incredible group of women. You know that the Vogue editor, when he left and he got everybody, all these supermodels and everything in the room, and they said, wow, how did you do that? It was a little bit like that, wasn't it? Get that many people to say yes and come to our event. It
what
was
you call a group of women like that, not a gaggle, a harem? No,
fine.
no. What do you call it? I said a gaggle, really, wouldn't it?
A gaggle.
Because they're not, it was quite loud.
It was loud because there was so much energy in the room.
Yeah, lots of chatting.
Everybody was very excited to see each other, because also it wasn't just sort of celebrities. It was founders of businesses and entrepreneurs and people who maybe have met over social media. You know, there's quite a few influencers there, but not in IRL. You know what that means?
On an island.
In real life, you plankton.
It's a bit like LOL and all that stuff, you know, it's beyond me, you know me.
I know how much you love social media. But you know what? It's funny coincidence, because it was in the ballroom at Wentworth when I first discovered my sharp elbows. You know, I am a Brit. It doesn't always come easily to walk up to somebody and say, would you?
I think that's past tense.
Yeah.
Just now.
There you go. But that's an area, I guess, I've grown, and hopefully in a polite way. But that happened to be where I met Jenny Seagrove at an American women's expat group. And at the end, I thought, what have I got to lose? I could just ask her if she would come on our podcast. And I honestly didn't really think she would. And she did. She said yes. And I remember saying to you, oh, my God, Liz, Jenny Seagrove's going to be on our podcast. What?
Yeah, and she's one of the greats.
She is. She's iconic, such a wonderful actress, and she does so much for theatre now. But it made me think, kind of, we've come full circle. Here we are, where we met this first person who took a pitch on us. You know, we knew nobody, no celebrity connections whatsoever, not even Joe Wicks, who occasionally walks past the house with a box of donuts. But fast forward 2.5 years, and we're 70 episodes in, and we've talked to so many people. And I'm just, when I stood at the podium to do the little welcome speech, and I could see you across the room waving at me
with that glass of champagne.
Yeah, cheers very much. And I was thinking, number one, don't be sick. And number two, wow, I can't actually believe that I'm speaking to this group of women who are broadcasters and household names. And yeah, and I did talk sort of on the day about sort of the imposter syndrome that often, I know I feel it quite a lot, but I feel like on one shoulder I've got imposter syndrome saying, you know, who do you think you are? And on the other side I've got something saying, hey, you go, girl. And I'm like, I'm really trying hard to believe and, you know, to listen to that shoulder, to that little voice on my right shoulder, not the left shoulder. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I think, you know, you've proved that you can do it.
Well, we've proved.
It's your elbows. Mine are a bit squidgier compared to yours in the nicest possible way. But, you know, mine, I can talk to people. But I don't know what, because, you know, my job in the past, I had to be sociable, conferences, events, organising, finding sponsorship. But I guess that's what it's sort of, I've lost that slightly.
Oh, I think you've got it back.
But I can do it. Yeah. But it's an interesting one that you have to, it seems harder as you get older. And I think it's because, you know, you question how you feel, how you look.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
But you do, I mean, it's quite easy to feel less than you were, or less than other people that you're with. And I think, gosh, as Nigat Arif said on the day in the panel, like, you've got to believe in yourself and just got to do what you can do well. You know, do you well.
Don't
do somebody else second rate, because they've already got that. I've always said that to my kids, actually. You know, just do you. Don't be a second rate anybody else.
I just listened to our first podcast again, and two or three times, and I sounded a little bit lost. I didn't feel that I had, you know, I was confident enough to do stuff. And I'll be honest, 2.5 years later, listening to some really sound advice from guests, and you know, such varied topics, I feel confident. I feel that I've, you know, I've learned so much, and that's why I feel if we've helped a few people, that they can just feel that they can do it. They, you know, they can, whether it's, as I said, my cold shower, you know, from Penny Mallory, I was good about that, my cold shower, which I have every morning, which makes me feel so much better, you know, to you discovering about your ADHD in adult life, you know, it's not exciting things, you know, they're not, you know, front page, you know, headlines type stuff, but it's how it affects normal people. And it's not all about the menopause. We talk about stuff that is normal.
It's our makeup, and I don't mean cosmetically. Mm. It's what makes us women at our age, what affects us. You know, we're looking after parents who are elderly, we're worried about our adult kids, we might be coming up to retirement. What are we going to do? Do we still love our spouse? I do by the way.
You do?
So do I, yeah. But do you know, I think I am more than my husband's wife, and I am more than my children's mother, and doing this podcast has made me re-find parts of me that I remember from when I was in my 20s. It's been so fun, really fun. And I do not think, you know, this being a montage, we're going to go into some chats and conversations with some of the gorgeous women who are at the event.
And they were gorgeous.
Oh, dear Lord, were they gorgeous. Make sure I get a makeup artist before I ever do anything else.
First lesson in life
again.
We didn't know about. First lesson of being a sort of vaguely out there in front of, you know, well, we didn't know that.
Guess what? I had my hair done the day before, right? So I went to see Carol, my hairdresser, and she did my hair. It was all lovely. She did the highlights and everything. And she said, I've done it a bit extra because, you know, it'll fall. No, didn't just fall. I had the sweatiest, most nervous, anxiety-driven sleep. I probably had 2 hours. I woke up, I looked like Wurzel Gummidge. I had to completely redo my hair. But I didn't have a makeup artist and a hairdresser coming in the morning to make me look lovely. I was busy trying to run around and work out why my pod track wasn't working. But anyway, that's real life. Let's take you to the ballroom at Wentworth so you can experience some of what went on during the day.
So I'm going to do some roving reporting, and I've come across Linda Magistris from the Good Grief Trust and Kate Roham from Owning Your Menopause. And she's an absolute menopause guru, fitness guru. Welcome to International Women's Week at Wentworth. Have you celebrated before? What are you doing this week to celebrate women?
Yeah, so I'm doing quite a lot this week, celebrating women, really important. I'll be raising my voice, obviously, for menopause when it comes to inspiring inclusion, which is obviously the theme, to make sure that women get the correct support, advice, and we raise awareness around that. So I'm here today. Thank you. It looks amazing and I'm excited. And then after this, I'm off to another event to talk menopause. And that's it, really. I'm going to be going around beating that drum on how, the benefits of exercise and diet alongside HRT, if we choose to and want to take it, can be really beneficial.
Perfect. Have a good time. Grab a glass. So I've just come across Tonya Buxton and she's collecting her Sarah Harran bag.
Here we go. It's my beautiful bag. I absolutely love it.
Well, thank you so much for coming. I haven't met you before, so it's really nice to meet you. So I'd love to ask you, what are you doing to celebrate International Women's Day?
The main thing for me when it comes to celebrating is cherishing my daughters, actually. So I've got adult daughters and I pat myself on the back every day for the good job I've done on them. And I'm not going to be kind of modest about that because they are brilliant women. And I look at them and I think they are what I wish I was when I was their age. So they're my big celebration, actually.
On your daughter, she's a singer, isn't she?
Musician, yeah. She's in Athens at the moment, performing there. She has a residency there. And she's just enjoying life. And I spoke to someone recently who was interviewing her who went out of their way to call me to say, I just want to say I love your daughter. She's a real powerhouse of a woman, but what a polite young lady. And so they are my true kind of joy of Women's Day and women. You know, we've come so far.
So, yes, now I've walked into Dilly Carter from Sort Your Life Out, and she's an amazing organiser just generally, and Jamie Klingler, who is the campaigner for Reclaim These Streets. She's done incredible work and she's going to be on our panel later. So what have you done or how do you think International Women's Day helps women? Do you think it is enough just to have one day of the year?
No, I think it's a 365-day effort. I am very interested in the language around it, though. Like International Men's Day, their theme is end male suicide. And ours is inspire inclusions. Ours are much more about asking permission to have a seat at the table rather than demanding it. And I'm done asking permission. I'm over it. Like, let's take it. Let's have no end gender lack of gender parity in salaries. Give women the healthcare they need and the childcare they need. Except menopause. You know, like I'm much less about like one of the themes I think 2 years ago was about allies, and I'm like, no, you don't get this day too. And that's the thing is like I'm much more concerned about stopping the flowery nature of our language of asking men for permission to fight for equality.
Amazing. I'm just going to go and change my speech now.
I'm joking. I love it.
Dilly. Dilly's going to be on the podcast really soon, actually. Yeah, spring decluttering, emptying the nest. So, Dilly, what do you think is the best thing about having International Women's Day?
Oh, I think celebrating women in the powerhouses that we are is something that we should be doing every day, isn't it? Because I think so often we are in a situation where we just don't have that support and strength. And I think days like this remind us of how supportive we are of each other, because often or not, I think we feel alone, don't we? And we feel like there isn't anyone supporting us and we've got all this weight on our shoulders for so many different reasons. But actually, there's a whole network of women that want to help each other and raise each other rather than bring each other down. And that's what these days remind us about. Raise each other up. Absolutely.
All right, confession time. This was the bit where we were going to also include the panel discussion. And we had three amazing women who were on the panel talking about inspiring inclusion. And that was Dr. Nigat Arif. She's GP and BBC and ITV TikTok doc. Jamie Klingler, who is co-founder of Reclaim These Streets, which was founded after the murder of Sarah Everard and the vigil that was held for Sarah and what the police did during that time. And Lavina Mehta, MBE, who is known for her exercise snacking, and she led us in a whole exercise snack to much laughter and giggles in the room when all these beautifully dressed women in their gorgeous dresses that are all kind of tight and their high heels and they were trying to do squats on a chair. It was hysterical to watch. So if things had gone to plan, this is the bit where we would have had inspiration from the panel. But because things don't work out, I had a bit of a technical glitch and my machine stopped working. So got nothing, got inspired, but got nothing from the panel to share with you. Although one of the things that really stood out for me was from Dr. Arif when she said, find your purpose and run with it. Honestly, it's simple, but she said, just, you know, be good at what you do. You don't have to be excellent. You don't have to be amazing, but just be good at what you do. Find what you're good at and be good at it. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But it's effective. Feedback on all three was really phenomenal. They are so inspiring, all three of these women. Temple Spa is a British brand built on over 20 years of skincare breakthroughs and cutting-edge science. Marrying clinically proven formulas with naturally rich botanicals, Temple Spa can be found in the form of a broad range of rejuvenating or luxuriously relaxing treatments in over 150 spas globally. And their ethically conscious skincare products and sumptuous bath and body products can be shopped online at templespa.com as a deluxe gift for yourself or a loved one. Use code CHATTINGTEMPLESPA for 10% off until the end of March. Award-winning Victoria James Concierge, based in the Home Counties and London, have been looking after the concierge and lifestyle needs for private families for the last 10 years. Victoria James offers a bespoke personal service to all of their clients, from lifestyle and property management to executive assistance. As a team, they have a black book of highly regarded and experienced contacts, which enables them to be able to book Michelin-starred restaurants, even at short notice, obtain tickets for premiere events, to arranging plumbers and home maintenance contractors. They can organise anything from the ordinary to the extraordinary. Check out their website at victoriajamesconcierge.co.uk. So before we go back into a few more roving reports, I sat down with Sarah Harran, the founder of Sarah Harran Luxury Handbags, and asked her what spurred her on to create her brand in midlife, and if she had any tips for women wanting to follow their passion.
So I'm joined by Sarah Harran, who makes the gorgeous luxury handbags that you often see me with on social media. And I wanted to just ask her, in International Women's Day week, yes, as an outstanding founder and builder of new business.
Builder of bags.
You moved from IT into designing handbags.
Yes, and a bit off the wall.
It was a bit off the wall. Why did you do that exactly? I know the story, but I mean, it's a great story.
I just thought it would be a change, something different. And I couldn't really have got anything more different than doing IT one day and then making bags the next. So yes,
but it stemmed as well, didn't it, from when you were traveling with business? Yes, and you'd like travel, got this and you got this,
you know, when you're traveling you need so many bags, and airplanes don't like you taking on lots of bags, and I was going from day to night in my job quite a lot, and I decided that there must be a solution, that you could just have one bag that you didn't have to unpack, you just use the same bag, then just take the front off it or just take some part of it. And I thought that that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
So I just thought,
and then voila, you have your crossbody or your clutch for the evening.
Exactly, that's right. You don't need to carry two bags because the bags are all joined together.
So I love the whole concept. It's a bit like, I don't know, changing a Barbie. So you can put bows on and deco strips and cute little outfits almost.
You can make it cute, or you can just stay more what I call plain Jane, or just, you know, just you don't have to overdo it. But that's the thing. The whole point is you can personalise it to suit your own life and what you're doing.
You even personalise the bags with their own names, don't you? So that's I trot around with my Dahlia, now my Michelle tote.
You've got Michelle. See, obviously we had
Michelle, right?
I mean, it would make no sense not to. What, you know, the only bag we haven't got is a Sarah.
I think that needs to be done. All right, so if you were going to do a Sarah, what colour would you do it? What would be
would probably do it in a bright pink, just to be
look at you today in a gorgeous pink.
Yes, I do quite like pink, and it stands out and creates a nice pop. But yeah, I keep naming bags after everybody else.
Well, I think it's time you had one after you.
Yes,
well,
true.
I mean, you are an inspiration because you have built up your business to, you know, very successful. You've got incredibly loyal fans with your Bags of Joy Club.
Yes.
Because you do bring joy to people. Do you have any advice then for women in midlife, perhaps, who are thinking about getting back into work or they've got a passion they want to follow? What would you suggest that they do, or any tips?
The first thing to do is not be afraid of that and actually go for it. You know, if it's something you really want to do, particularly in midlife, you kind of feel sometimes if you're on a clock towards something, and it might not be a the nicest thing anymore, and you're not the youngster that you might have been before. Right. So for me, it just gave me the inspiration to just get out and do something that I probably would never have done. Just like you, really.
What's your essential
thing? Been doing this from nowhere.
Well, yeah, well, so that was a surprise. With Liz and I starting this podcast a couple of years ago, I must say, didn't really expect to be sitting here chatting at Wentworth.
Doing this amazing event.
Fabulous
exactly.
event. Yeah, with great guests.
Next, I spoke to Liz Warham, founder of Temple Spa, who, along with her husband, at the age of 40, drew on her previous experience, but really was very brave in taking a step and starting the new brand. So I asked her, how did maturity in midlife help her build the brand and become so successful? And what were her tips for other women in midlife who might want to start their own business?
First of all, I'd say know your subject. Mark and I chose to build a business in an industry that we knew very well, having built several brands and businesses for other people. I often seen people move into a sector that they know nothing about, and they struggle to compete alongside those who have greater knowledge and experience. For example, I'm a foodie. I love reading cookbooks, TV cookery programs, going to the market, entertaining, cooking, and anything food related. However, this would never qualify me for owning a restaurant. So stick to what you know and just do it better than everyone else. The next is do your research and be prepared to adapt your plan as you go. It is a big world out there, and often when you've been working on an idea in evenings and weekends from your home, you've become a little bit insular and forget that there are probably lots of other people doing what you want to do. So be brave enough to check out the competition, decide what will make your idea unique, why would people buy it, what points of difference and standout do you have. Continue to gather facts, and without losing the central reason for being, be ready to implement new ideas into your overall plan. The next, be able to describe your concept easily and in a compelling way. From your business to launch and become successful, you will need customers, and lots of them. So whether you're reaching them face to face or virtually, you must be able to have a clear, concise, easy to understand proposition or product. There are rarely genuine gaps for anything. There certainly wasn't with Temple Spa. The world didn't need another skincare company, but it didn't put us off going for our idea. We just knew we had to do it better. But if you aren't sure if you've got something with distinguishing benefits and you can't distill it into a few crystal clear sentences, your ideas probably need more refining. I find myself frequently going to parties and gatherings, and after talking to someone for 10 minutes, I still don't have a clue what it is that they do. Not good. Don't avoid the numbers. Regardless of whether you need help from the bank, financial investment, a business partner, or you're going to go alone using your own funds, you have to be obsessive about the numbers. Know your key performance indicators and be very clear about them. Be realistic about cost structures, timings, and the commercial side of the business plan. The reality is things will take twice as long, costs will be twice as high, sales will be half your projections, and cash will be very, very tight. This can sound worrying, but it shouldn't put you off. If you overplan, you'll never do anything, and you have to be prepared to take risks. But this is not the time to be fluffy about the maths. Know the difference. You absolutely have to have a dream. Without one, your idea will not happen. A dream will be how you see yourself in the next 5 years with your business booming, your idea taking shape, and people buying your product or service. A dream will be one of the major reasons why I'm so passionate about Temple Spa and the fact that we've been able to give over 5,000 women in the UK a business opportunity to be entrepreneurial and have their own business. I'm really, really proud of that. And finally, you've just got to follow your dream. Without one, your idea won't happen. A dream will be how you see yourself going forward. And I just encourage you to take your passion with both hands and go for it. And finally, just believe that your best days are ahead. Don't let anyone tell you your best is behind you. Because to start a business in midlife, trust me, is absolutely fulfilling. And I wish you so much luck.
So I think what I really loved about this event was that there was such an eclectic group of women from so many different spheres. And I have to say that 2 years ago, when Liz and I started this podcast with no celebrity connections, like absolute zero, we could never have imagined filling Wentworth's ballroom with such an incredible group of supportive, well-known women. And it just proves, I think, that midlife is halfway through, not halfway done. And it's never too late to pursue a passion or start anew. Here's a few more interviews from around the room on what International Women's Day means to them.
I've come across another fab group here. So I'm Rove reporting. Two Michelles and a Marcia. Yeah, so I've got Michelle Griffith-Robinson, Olympian, Michelle Ellman, influencer and de-influencer and relationship expert, actually, and Marcia Bailey from Institute of Sport, UK Sport. So can I ask the three of you, what have you been doing for International Women's Week, actually? It's more than a day these days. What have you been doing, Michelle Ellman?
I have been walking around preaching about how female empowerment is nothing without financial empowerment, and how literally, apparently it seems like International Women's Day has disappeared this year because no brands want to actually pay people to speak. And I think we're done with that.
Why should women volunteer their time all the time for these movements without getting paid? Do men?
But also, they don't pay us 364 days of the year and then they expect us to work for free on the 5th. Like, it's not happening. And also, if this is meant to be a day for us, then why are we not getting the compensation for our time and energy? And I just think it's symbolic of what happens the rest of the year, but more so, it kind of hurts me more on International Women's Day because I'm like, you're missing the point.
And I'm afraid you're getting nothing today either, but you will get a really great cucumber sandwich.
Love, and I chose to be here, so that's okay.
Works for me.
I always say this about boundaries, that if I turn up, you know I actually want to be here because I have no problem saying no.
Michelle, what have you been doing for International Women's Day?
So for today, I started this morning working for a company for Double Verify, and they paid me. They had to pay me. I influenced 20 amazing senior leaders. I spoke to them really honestly about inclusion. And actually, when I walked in there and there was 17 white faces, two oriental faces and one black face myself, I said to them, is this what you're expecting?
Hardly Benetton, is it?
I said, hello, Hardly Benetton. I said, but fine. What can we do now? We now know what's in front of us. What's next? What are you going to do about this? So again, it's about raising awareness. And you know what? I feel good. This week looks great for me. I'm doing some stuff for Women's Aid as well with Mel B on Friday. I'm going to pop in and do something with Hello Magazine. But actually, every day is International Women's Day for me because I've got two daughters that have to teach them their worth and their value every single day of the year.
I think you're amazing. And would you please slip Mel B my card? Marcia.
I think for me, it's just like role modelling. What we should be doing every day is checking in with your sisters and making sure, you know, your friends, and just making sure that everyone feels loved, feels appreciated. So for me, it's nothing different. It's just making sure that, you know, the women that are in my life understand and know that I'm here and I love them.
I've spotted Lavina Mehta, and surprise, surprise, she's by the photographer.
So rather than squat, I'm actually learning how to pose.
I'm not sure a squat is the best pose for a lovely social media photo, but you look gorgeous.
Only squat on the toilet. Okay.
Baby, trust me.
And that's a little bit of help from Michelle Robinson there. So, Lavina, what have you been doing for International Women's Week?
So, I think this is my second or third panel today.
Today?
As in this week. Yeah, not today. I'd be absolutely exhausted, but very, very excited to be here. It's been so lovely just to get together with so many amazing women, right? And with the theme of inclusion and diversity and inspiration, brilliantly brought us all together today.
Oh, so nice to have you here. All right, we have more gorgeous ladies. We've got Artie Powell.
Hi, Michelle, how are you?
So, Artie, what do you do to celebrate International Women's Week?
I'll be honest, I think women should be celebrating themselves every day. And I talk about this all year round. It's all about self-love and really give yourself a pat on the back because we work so hard to juggle. You know, we're spinning so many plates in the air. So for me, this, you know, this week is so important. And yes, there is self-reflection, but I think it's also really important to realize times you have neglected yourself and to really think, you know what, I'm going to start putting myself first. That's really important.
I think that's an excellent point. Enjoy the rest of the afternoon.
Well, how about that, Liz? Wasn't that great?
It was amazing.
And actually, in other news, it was also you and I going out on a high after 2.5 years of our podcast partnership. There are certain people in that room who won't remain nameless, Michelle Ellman, Anthea Turner, Michelle Griffith Robinson, Andrea McLean, who I squarely place the blame on for making Liz rethink life balance, people pleasing and boundaries. And Liz, what have you decided to do?
I'm going.
She's going.
I believe it, yeah. Because, as I said off microphone, I really have listened to our early podcasts and I've listened to, and that's the point, I do listen to them. I listen to them more than once because it's a great learning curve for me to see how I've improved, I'll be honest. I think I've got a bit more confidence. Mm. But I've also listened and realised that I want to do the things that we talk about. So, you know, whether it's new hobbies, helping out charities, well, not, you know, I support various charities, but, you know, but giving more time to them. You know, I love my garden. I love my family. I love my friends. And I think, as I said to you before, you know, there have been some friends and people I know who have gone through difficult times. I want to be there for them. Mm. And this podcast has grown so much. Didn't really expect it, to be honest, to be quite so successful.
No.
It takes up so much time. If you want to do it right, anyone listening out there, a podcast is a full-time job. I retired a long time ago.
And she's retiring again now.
Yeah. So I've enjoyed it, but I'm going.
Yeah. Ta-da. No, I think you're making absolutely the right decision. You've got a lovely family that you want to spend more time with. You really want to perfect that golf swing.
Hit the ball.
And, you know, there's no hard feelings between us. She, Liz, as you may know if you've listened to the pod for a while, I mean, what, are you 100 yards away from my back garden?
Yeah, not even that.
Yeah, no, without doubt, she'll be popping in probably unexpectedly in the middle of an interview or something.
That's usually interrupting.
No, love that. No, of course. And we'll still, actually, I'm really looking forward to doing some normal things with you again, like walking the dog, going for lunch. We never go to lunch.
Do you know, we haven't, except for going to an event where we've had some lunch. We've never had a lunch.
Yeah. You know, she'll come into my house wearing slippers, go and make a cup of tea. And I love that familiarity. It's brilliant. I mean, she's practically in a dressing gown. But and I love that. But what we have forgotten in the mix is to be friends.
Mm.
You know, we're friends on microphone and we have a good banter and we always have a good laugh. But we have forgotten how to just take that away from the studio and to just
take it into real life.
Yeah, go to Costa for coffee, whatever. So from the next season, season 7, I'm going to be hosting on my own. And I was nervous. I know I can do it. And I really hope that you'll all keep listening and supporting. And I've got some really good guests coming on. I am a bit nervous. I'm not going to lie.
No, but still two women chatting because you're chatting to...
I'll be chatting to another. Yeah. And it does make me think, why didn't we call it three women chatting in the first place? But anyway.
Sometimes it's four women chatting.
Yeah. And we could do four women chatting and a man. I mean, like, it's endless. We can do whatever we want. So that's it from us this week.
Chat soon.
Hi, I'm Sarah Davison, the divorce coach. I'm really looking forward to sharing with you on Two Women Chatting how you can cope better with any kind of breakup. Maybe you've exhausted all possibilities and you know a divorce is on the cards. Or maybe you've just discovered that your partner doesn't want to be with you anymore. As a woman, don't worry, I understand. I've been there myself and now help people all over the world. I'll show you how you can deal with the emotional roller coaster as well as the practical challenges, and how to ensure you're supported not just emotionally, but also legally and financially too. I'll share what not to do as well as what you absolutely must do, including how you can take your power back and navigate this in a way that will enable you to turn your pain into your superpower and create a future you're truly excited to live.